you want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.
Well, good evening, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are powered by SID Media. If you're joining us, welcome. But if you've been with us, we started at 6 p.m. this evening. It is, of course, the 26th of November 2024. Really, really appreciate you. Plus 2773-470-3520. That is the number that you can use to talk to us. Every single Tuesday, we do this thing called Technology and Innovations. We just try and keep up with the trends on what's happening from the technological front. And today, again, is no different at all. And we're looking at the issue of the impact of urban-rural digital divide on education. I don't think we've ever had such an important conversation as this one. Anything that has to do with education is really, really important and should be kept at the forefront of everything. And so we are having this conversation today. Instructional tools in education have evolved from basic computer labs to high-tech facilities such as laptops, netbooks, interactive whiteboards, or even tablets and computers as well. And in our conversation today, we aim to explore the gap regarding technology integration between urban schools and rural schools in South Africa. And to join us for this conversation, we are joined by Quentin Mulegwa, founder and CEO of Absolute Converged Technologies, whose vision is to bridge the digital divide in public schools, particularly in townships and in rural areas. And there's a tagline there: bringing connectivity and computer labs to our schools. And is joining us this evening. Well, welcome to the show, sir, and I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Tabelo, and thank you to your listeners. Really appreciate it for this moment.
We really, really appreciate you and your time as well. We absolutely, absolutely appreciate that. How's things towards the end of the year on your side?
Well, so far so good. I can't complain much. It's been a little bit hectic, busy. Sleepless, always on the road.
Look at that. I thought things were dying down a little bit and you're looking forward to just relaxed. You seem to be going the opposite direction when the rest of us are like, siyavala manje.
To be honest, right now I feel like I should, by the 30th of this month, I want to just shut down, but it's just impossible to shut down.
It's impossible, right? Yeah. But any fatigue from your side?
But the only way I manage that, I try by all means to go exercise a little bit, but it's challenging also to do that.
It is. Oh, fantastic. All right. Thank you so much for your time this evening. I think I'm going to join you on this exercising thing because the level of fatigue that I have, I'm thinking if I go and exercise, I'll probably make it worse. But you seem to be arguing that it actually makes it easier, right?
Absolutely works.
Yeah, I should try and do that. Anyways, welcome to the show, my good sir. We really appreciate your time. Yeah. For people who may not know you, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself and exactly what do you do?
My name is Quentin Mulegwa, and I'm the founder and the CEO of AC Technologies.
Yeah.
And founding this company basically was 2018.
Mm.
And it was through the fact that I was working for a telecommunication company at the time.
Yes.
Yeah. And going around schools and growing up in the rural areas, knowing that there was no access to technology.
Yeah.
And seeing that we still have the same issue in our township schools. I mean, you thought townships maybe would be a little bit better than rural areas, we understand, but it's actually still the same.
Yeah.
And that challenge is just being mind-boggling because now the kids are they go to varsity without even knowing how to operate a computer.
Eesh, my goodness.
Not even knowing what a Word is or an Excel is. I mean, simple things.
And where were you born exactly?
I was born in Mokopane, place called Gqokopane.
This is in the Limpopo province,
In the Limpopo province,
Fantastic. And you seem to be arguing that there was a little bit of technological challenges and stuff like that. What brought about the excitement or the love for computers from your side?
I think for me that the love for technology and growing up not really having it, not even experiencing it, at varsity level.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. So I think what brought me to come to this is also, you know, passion for youth.
Passion for youth.
Yeah.
Ah.
From early ages, I mean, even when I was still in school, I was always that guy who, you know, I was the LRC president. Also, you know, going to your you know, this awareness campaigns.
Yes.
And I'll come back to the school, be the one who sits in front of the student and then,
look,
you know,
at that.
Give them an idea how it is. And then in terms of the what they want to study in future from high school and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. And Absolute Converged Technologies, what a fancy name, right? How did that one come about?
See, that name basically, how I came up to it was, you know, looking also at the struggle that we face in that.
Yeah.
I want to bring solutions that are more into the technology side.
Yeah.
Bring them together. Even if you're a business.
Yeah.
If you want to work with AC technologies.
Yes.
You don't need to have multiple vendors within your company. So you can come to one company, and I will offer your end-to-end solution from your connectivity to your your IT equipment.
Okay. So that's why they're converged.
Where the convert comes in. Yes.
I love it. That's a clever name. That's what I'm saying. Very fancy and very clever.
So
I love that. I think it's a name that will stick. Anyone that thinks about it will definitely stick because there's a story behind it. It's not just a name, Jeff, for the company that came from nowhere. So that makes sense. Okay. We're talking about rural and urban digital divide in education. Can you please just, at a very high level, paint a picture for us of how serious this particular problem we have in South Africa?
Yes, I mean, it's really a very serious or a very challenging issue that we're facing.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm saying this is because I've given myself time to go through almost 100 schools. I mean, Gauteng, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northwest, you know. And you get there, I mean, I'm talking about even merely your teachers. Some teachers, they can't even operate a computer
they
for that
can't.
Matter. You understand? Yeah, sure. So it's really serious. And, you know, I have a little bit of a different approach how to do this.
Yeah.
And yes, I also have, at the moment, I'm actually with Telkom. It's also, I'm part of the Future Makers at Telkom.
Ooh, okay. Sure, that's beautiful. Okay, the difference then between technological availability between your rural school and urban schools, how's that looking like?
To be honest, we are way far to even try and bridge that digital divide because of infrastructure. It's first is the most challenging.
Yes,
and yes, we can say okay, computer wise. We can put them into the schools, but without connectivity, what would be the point of just putting the computers there and also having sort of integrate the digital skills with the curriculum of the school? I think that's where it's going to make a difference.
Yeah.
We're not just coming in and plugging in the computers and then putting internet and then you sit back.
In fact, that's what I think our government has done, particularly here in South Africa, and we broadcast to Africa as well. But I know particularly in South Africa, they've just went on this huge drive where they've spent billions of rands putting computers in different schools. And I remember even when I was still at school, we had a computer center that no one used. Like, what
there
was the
go.
Point of this computer center? So this drive of government and this obsession to open up computer centers that are not going to be used, like you're saying, even the teachers don't understand. What do you think is the drive behind that? Is there some tender something happening somewhere?
To be honest, but in my view, it's more of the you know, the tenderpreneur challenges, not entrepreneurs. We are different.
Yes.
So tenderpreneurs, all they do is they just go plug it in and then just expect somebody to know how to operate
exactly.
without showing them the way.
Sure. Yeah, I know. There's computers everywhere, but no one really knows how to use them.
I can tell you that much, but amongst all the 24,000 schools in this country that we have, and you're sitting with 18,000 that have no access to technology, no access to connectivity, do you see the gap? But do you see the gap? It's massive.
It's massive. And I'm supposing these are things that keep you up at night, because that's such a huge number.
Absolutely, bud. Absolutely. And it's a struggle for these kids when they go to varsity.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to take sight classes because they need to catch up with the rest of the students.
While the other students are advancing, they already know
what they're doing with the computer.
My goodness. Yeah, this is really a big problem. Okay, let's talk about teachers' attitudes. What do you find when it comes to this digital, adoption and technology? Are teachers coming to the party?
To be honest, the ones that I have seen, the principals that I have, I've actually had meetings with them. Mm. They literally are excited to see this coming live, soon.
Yeah,
they are really excited because they also feel like they will have an opportunity to also learn, and also they can integrate this within their schools.
Okay. And then competencies, do you find that most have the competency to be able to maybe teach even the learners?
Absolutely not. So they really don't have the capacity to actually even teach the learners about the computers.
Yeah. And what are some of the suggestions? Are there any coming from government to either upskill them or look for a computer teacher or look for services like yourselves? What are these conversations taking place?
But to be honest, at this stage, I really have no idea if the government it is engaging in terms of really making sure that if you say you put labs, are they really being utilized in a correct manner?
Yeah.
And which they have done that many times. There are schools that are sitting with computers that are just dust.
Yeah.
That's it. But it's dust. And on my end, I think I get this question a lot where, Ubuntu, they have done that. So how are you, what is your approach? How are you going to really make sure that really these things are being utilized?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So coming up with, your digital application,
where
I'm only going to be focusing merely just on the four basic things.
Which,
it's for me, that's very crucial for a student. Before you can go anywhere, varsity, you are aware of these things.
Yeah.
So looking at your basic computer literacy,
your
internet research skills,
ooh,
digital communication, and cybersecurity awareness.
Ooh.
Those are main focus courses that I'm going to be either making sure that they integrate with the school curriculum.
Yeah.
And they're not just going to be courses for the sake of being courses. Mm. So I'm getting MICT CETA accreditation so that this is a certificate. You can take it anywhere. You don't have to redo this whenever. You can take it anywhere.
Yeah.
It's accredited globally.
Ooh, that's lovely. That's lovely. I like the part about, skills to do internet search, right? That's a big problem. Hey? People can't search online.
It is, because you need to know the right words in order to get the output that you're looking for.
Yo.
So that's why they need to be guided.
Yo.
Along those lines. I need to study this, what do I search? You know what I mean?
That's interesting, because I think we are one of the leading countries in the world in terms of Google searches for anything you can think of in this world, even those things that are not really palatable, as it were, right? And I'll just leave it at palatable. We're a Christian Christian radio station. I'm not gonna mention it. But we seem to be searching for everything.
Yeah,
that's interesting. All right. And then when it comes to then the attitudes and the competency levels between rural schools and urban schools, do you see a difference?
The competencies, but it's absolutely a huge difference. A huge difference to a point where if you were to put a kid from the rural areas and the kid from your private schools.
Yeah.
But the difference is massive, because the understanding also, it's another challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. The way somebody from the rural area, how they would understand it, will be totally different from somebody who comes from the private school.
Yeah.
Because in rural areas, we are not more practical.
Hey, okay.
It's more theoretical.
Okay.
And you get to private schools, it's more practical than just being theory.
Yeah. And this largely stays with the teachers, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. If the teachers did anything, it would be much better. Okay, so what you are saying is the teachers, there's a bit of a gap, right, in terms of competency levels as well as their attitudes towards, I suppose, technological integration. And that's where your services then come in and fit very squarely there, beautifully for that matter. Let's talk about then students. What do you find in terms of their attitude towards technological integration? Are they accepting it? Are they open to it as students? And please paint a picture between the attitude of the urban ones and the rural ones.
In that sense, they really are open to it.
Yeah.
Because we already are living in a digital world,
yes.
And at least at this stage, I was saying that a bit of access is there because of your handsets. Now,
yes.
Most of the kids, they hold handsets.
Yes.
But obviously, if I were to compare the rural and urban or township, for example, there will be a little bit of a difference there. Because township, they'll be more on your smartphones that much. But rural, they might even be in matric and don't even have a phone. You understand? So they are really open to it, that they would have actually access to technology or equipment that they can use, to search, and they can be like other kids.
Yeah. And then their competency levels, do you find that it's different between urban and rural?
It is different, but it is absolutely different. And I think it's really a bigger gap, in terms of the competency there. You really cannot really compare the urban kids with rural.
Yeah.
At least urban, I can put it with your township close by.
Does it have to do with the socioeconomic statuses of, I suppose, the families and the homes they come from? Because your maybe township and urban come from maybe not so rich, but at least their parents are working. Whereas compared to rural, perhaps maybe the reason why the competencies levels are low is because, like you said, they come from families where, lower LSMs, and there's no money and access to that, and parents are not working.
Yeah, that's actually 100% correct. So it's basically purely because of the access to either those who are working moms, working fathers.
Yeah.
I mean, when you go to your rural areas, but I cannot tell my mom to help me with an homework, you understand? So I come to Joe, if you're in an urban, your mom can help you with the homework. They understand this. If you ask him to have a tablet, they will make sure you get the tablet.
Yes.
But at home, at the rural areas, it's different.
Yeah.
So even the kid won't push because they are not exposed to these things. And you can only build a passion when you start, you are exposed to certain things and you see what you really love, what you don't love.
Do you think that there is a need to actually remove them from their rural areas and expose them to urban students, fellow colleagues of theirs, who are maybe a little bit more advanced, maybe not necessarily as advanced as they should be in urban areas. But do you think that we need to move them and expose them there, or the solutions need to fit them in the rural areas as well?
Yeah, I think, but moving them is just not even an option.
Ooh.
So it's all about building the community as well.
Yeah.
So giving access to all these things also helps the community. They will have access, they will start understanding these things.
Yeah.
So we cannot say that we take it away, then urban is only the place to be the place to do these things.
Yeah.
So my understanding is we need to push these things to the rural areas, to the township.
Yeah.
They have access to it closer to them. They don't have to travel to get access to this.
I'll circle back to government. Do you see a role in this specific one to roll out that? Is there a role government can play? Because, like you're saying, it's an option. It's not an option. And I'm thinking precisely because of the numbers. And those are the numbers that then justify government intervention.
To be honest, was based on my research, I do not see anything happening that way, unless we find ways around it as entrepreneurs to to try and push it to the townships and and rural areas.
Okay. I want to play a little bit of you know, the naughty one here, because when I drive in the townships, right, because of the computer labs that have been placed in many government institutions like your hospitals, your clinics, your schools as well, you find that there's a little bit of a computer, and then they give them a Wi-Fi. Some of that Wi-Fi doesn't even have a security code or password or whatever the case might be. I don't know if you've seen, but where I've gone, you see these young people at 5 p.m., 6 p.m., 7, 8, until they go to sleep, leaning against the walls of the school or leaning against the walls of the clinic. What are these young people doing there?
I've seen that in Soweto. Some of the schools that I went there, like literally, because now they can't, when they get home, they can't access you know, social medias and all those things. They'll be sitting at the school just to get access to whatever they want to see on the internet and stuff
So you see,
now it brings us back into, you know, that access to technology. We're taking it to the rural areas, we take it to the township, which means access to connectivity. It will benefit the community as well. It's not just going to benefit the school. Those labs, those who want to learn something from, even if they are older people, they can always have night schools and go and learn.
And go
they
and
must have
learn.
Access to that.
Okay. Now, let's talk about then the solutions to bridging this digital divide, especially in education for, you know, rural schools as well as township schools as well, so that they can also get to the level of private schools and all those sort of stuff. And as a company, what are some of the solutions that you are coming up, particularly for learners here? And maybe you can extend that to educators as well. What are some of the solutions that, that you see and want propose and maybe could help as well some of our teachers that are listening?
Knowing that the infrastructure is a challenge, but the I don't think it's difficult as long as there is support from government. Where, you know, the solution being that you don't just get a tender and then you just want to put the computers and expect the kids to learn by themselves. I mean, create sort of awareness campaigns for these kids. You know, you have, you give them the experience of the urban life in the rural areas. Not just plug things at the schools and expect them to learn them by themselves. Nobody will be teaching them. They just press the computer and that's it. That's all they're doing.
Okay. Infrastructure is one of them. Do you think your companies, your services, government should look into utilizing yourselves?
I think over the last 6 years, but I have forged into lots of partnerships. You know, with the big companies. You know, the likes of your Liquid Telecom, because they have a vast infrastructure. When it comes to connectivity as well. You know, your MTN and your lack of Seacom. So, this partnership for me is I want to bring these companies together that so we can be able to try and see if we can work together and bridge this digital divide. And, you know, even your likes of TASAS, which are the you know, the biggest suppliers of IT equipment as well in this country. So I've partnered with those guys as well. So trying to bring all these guys together and see if we can try to fight this digital divide that we're facing in this country, because it's really, it's been so many years, and I mean, we are now living literally in the digital world, and you still have places where there's no access to technology. You know, kids don't have access to your smartphones. Not everyone else can afford that.
And I just want to circle back on this one, particularly with regards to the partnerships, because that's a very important point. We all know there is a digital divide, and all these players in the technology space, whether they be telecommunications or otherwise, they do know that there is this digital divide. Why are we not working together?
You see, that's the reason why I'm like, that's what we need. We need to work together, because I can tell you that much, Tapela. There's no one company can just carry it and do it by themselves. It's massive.
I see.
It's massive.
I see.
And in doing this, we are giving back to our communities.
Yeah. Do you think there's a reluctance from corporate?
There is a reluctance because of, first thing, they look at the fact that infrastructure to get it to the rural areas, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, we know your fiber is very expensive to get it there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at this stage, I feel like it should not be impossible because, I mean, we have satellites and then I think they become more reasonable. If we can't get fiber there, then let's try and push satellites because that's only the last mile that we can now use if we can't really reach there with fiber. But they are reluctant because of the cost of the infrastructure. It's a little bit more expensive.
Yeah.
But that's where, we need the buy-in of the government and obviously seeing the difference that this program will definitely make a difference in the communities and in our schools.
Okay. And in the future, where do you see this digital divide, say 5 years to 10 years from now? Do you think we would have won this war?
I think maybe 5 to 10 years, but we could win it.
Ooh.
Unless we really... the government pull up the socks and really jump in into this and we try and push it all together and involving the guys with serious infrastructure in terms of your connectivity. And I think it will be possible. But the way I see it, at least 5-10 years, then maybe we might win or we might be close to actually winning.
Yeah, we might be close to winning. I mean, the world is moving very rapidly from a technological point of view, and we can't afford to be left behind because that can only mean detriment for our country, but also as the continent as well, because you do find some African countries where even today just the cell phone is such a big challenge, never mind then things like very sophisticated things that we now have and the apps and everything like that. So there truly needs to be a conversation that we have around these sort of things. Okay, where can people find you, your services, and where can they follow you?
At the moment, but I have not really been much on social media.
Okay.
I think it's only on LinkedIn at the moment.
Yeah.
But I can always share my office numbers and so at least if they want to reach me. Because we also do through our partnerships as well. So we still do your connectivity.
Yeah.
We also do your cloud services as well. We have partnered with your likes of Microsoft.
Yeah.
Cloud Mania. So. We can also assist with those kind of services as well.
Okay. No, that's fantastic. Any final thoughts, my brother, on this divide, particularly from an education point of view? How do we round this particular conversation? Your final thoughts?
My final thoughts, but it's. I mean, I just if we put our heads together as a country, this is our future leaders.
Yeah.
And when we impart knowledge at an early age, it's actually better than at a later stage. So, my ask and my plea that, we can put our heads together as companies and then try and bridge this digital divide. And I think it will make a difference in our country. And I think we'll have most intelligent leaders in the future. In the future, that they are more aware of the world at an early age.
At an early age, right? So that they don't get left behind. Well, my brother, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate you, and we'll check in with you once again in the near future.
Okay. No, much appreciated. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank
Tapela.
You so
Thanks
much.
For
really appreciate it. Okay, then. That was, of course, Quentin Mulegwa, and he is the founder and CEO of a company called Absolute Converge Technologies. We were talking about the digital divide between the rural and urban schools, particularly in education. Like I said when we started, anything that has to do with education needs to take the front row seat. If it's not taking the table itself, if it's not taking the table itself, then it really needs to be sitting at the forefront. We won't go anywhere. We won't achieve anything. We'll never be anything if we don't take anything that has to do with technology and, of course, education at the forefront. These two things are the backbone of any economy that we may want to create. Have an educated citizenry, right? Have an educated citizenry and population. And then you take technology and you bring these two worlds together, then definitely we will be at the forefront of everything. We can't be talking about the digital divide in 2024, guys. No, I disagree fundamentally for that matter. We can't be having that conversation in 2024. It's like the fintech divide. It's like also the divide from a finance point of view. Banking is still a huge divide there. There's lots of people that are left behind. No, we need to do better as Africa.
Do you want to take part in a Bible study that can help you understand the Bible better? Tune in to Glorious Morning every Thursday and Friday at 7:20 a.m. and on Maranatha Drive every Monday and Tuesday at 4 p.m. for an interactive Bible study. Through these studies, you can find answers for facing the issues and challenges you deal with every day. You can also find these studies on www.voiceofprophecy.com.